Well, good morning, and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church. Just a few announcements before we begin worship, some of which actually made the bulletin. We will have our community Bible study at the Multipurpose Building tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and everyone's encouraged to come. It's folk from all kinds of different congregations around the community, and I will be teaching on Joshua chapter 5. Great discussion and opportunity for questions and answers. This week we will have Bible study at the stairs, Lord willing, 1 p.m. and on Thursday. And these days we really do have to say the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. So who knows what Thursday weather will hold. Now, one that did not make the bulletin is, and I thank Jim Harrison for pointing this out, that we have an opportunity to celebrate a 200th anniversary celebration with one of our sister congregations. The Christ Episcopal Church in Church Hill has reached their 200th anniversary. And so they're going to be celebrating down in Church Hill in Jefferson County, 2 o'clock on Saturday. So you can go celebrate with them if you'd like. Others may want to go help with the cleanup at the Rodney Cemetery behind the Rodney Presbyterian Church. That will also be happening on Saturday. So Jefferson County is the place to be on Saturday. Now let's be called to worship with these words. No matter what the rain may look like, no matter what the weather may seem, Psalm 118:24 says this, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Let's worship our God as we stand and sing His praise. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, on some days it's easier to rejoice than it is on others. Sometimes our problems and our frustrations threaten to overwhelm us. It's hard to rejoice in the light of Christ when we've been in the storm so long. But help us today to trust in You, no matter what is going on in our lives. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that we might understand that You Yourself are Your greatest gift to us, and so that we might respond to Your grace with faith and love. And so help us to pray with sincere hearts the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals and turn to selection 636. Selection 636. This selection comes from two passages, one in John's Gospel chapter 14 and the other in John's Gospel chapter 16. And it tells us about Jesus teaching to us on the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for us, the great blessing of God's Spirit dwelling within us. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you to respond with the bold. Let's read these portions of God's Word responsibly. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever.
Him.
But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let's celebrate this great gift of the Holy Spirit and ask God to give us more of the Spirit each and every day. We'll turn in our hymnals to selection 193, and this is a prayer that the Holy Spirit would indeed dwell within all of us. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 193, and let us stand to sing. We have asked the Lord to fill us with his Spirit. Let us now say what we believe about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. be seated. And it's time for the children to come forward to have a lesson. Here they come. Oh, you wore your boots today. What a great idea. I think we all need some rain boots today. All right. Good to see y'all this morning. Okay. I got a question for you. What do you think that is? Well, tiny little thing. What good could such a tiny little thing actually do? You ever wondered about that yourself? What good can I do? I'm so small. Well, this is actually a flashlight. Look at how bright it is. See that? Well, you get a lot of light out of that little thing, can't you? How about that, huh? You know what? That's the same thing that's true of all of us. We may be small as individuals. We may be few in number as a congregation, but with the power of Christ within us, we can make a big difference. We can show Jesus to people, and Jesus makes a huge difference in their lives. You know that song, This Little Light of Mine? You ever sung that song? It's a song that has motions to it. If you don't know it, I'll teach it to you. You've got to get your candle, and this is the flame of the candle. Can you hold up your candle flame like this? Okay, the song goes like this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us hearts that long to help others. And Lord, help us to shine our little light this week to show and share Jesus with all those whom we'll see. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Thank y'all. Good to see y'all this morning. All right. This little light of mine. Let's take up our hymnals now and prepare our hearts for prayer as we turn to selection 348. Selection 348. As we ask God to draw us nearer to him, we'll sing just the first three stanzas of hymn number 348, and let us stand to sing. may be seated. And that's true, isn't it? Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. And sometimes the days are brighter and sunnier, and sometimes the days are dark and rainy, and sometimes we have lots of joy, and sometimes we have lots of sorrow. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but God is near to us. And this hymn reminds us that whatever is going on in our lives, we can draw near to the one who created us. We can draw near to the one who loves us, to the one who longs to hear our prayers. So with a confidence of children of God, let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's easy for us to thank you for the days that are going the way we think they should. It's easy for us to thank you for the sunny, bright days like we had on Saturday and Friday. We've had some beautiful days. And Lord, in our lives, we go through these times when everything just seems to be going right. And then days like today come where it's cloudy and dreary. And days come into our lives that bring us grief or bring us sorrow. Some of us, Lord, are wrestling with chronic illness in ourselves or our loved ones. Others are, today up in Jackson especially, people are wrestling with floodwaters and risking losing everything in their homes. Lord, some are far away from home and just missing their loved ones. Lord, others are grieving and know that their loved ones aren't going to come back, at least not in this world. So, Lord, on these difficult days and these difficult seasons, it's hard for us to rejoice, but we thank you, Lord, that you can be with us and you are with us no matter what kind of a day we're having. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the privilege of prayer so we can come into your presence no matter what's going on in our lives and that you want to hear about it. And we thank you that you are able and you are willing to do everything that's necessary for our good and for your glory. And so we pray. We pray with the confidence of children of God. We pray, O Lord, for our loved ones who are in need, because we know you are good and we know you are God and you have worked mighty works for us. Father, we pray today for those who are grieving. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who are discouraged. We pray for those wrestling with chronic pain or illness in themselves or their loved ones. Lord, we pray for those who are far away from home. We lift special prayers for our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines, especially those who have been deployed overseas. Father, we pray for those who regularly put themselves in harm's way so that we might be safe. We pray for all of our first responders. Lord, we pray for those who are working on the river, and for those who are in the path of the flooding. Father, for those who are going to be going through difficult days, we pray not only that you would relieve their suffering, but we also pray that you would sanctify their suffering to them, that you would use these difficult days in their lives and in ours too to draw us closer to you, to remind us of our need for you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us when difficulties come into our lives, help us to demonstrate our trust in Christ through those hard times. And Lord, when difficulties come into the lives of our loved ones, help us to share the grace and the truth and the joy and the certainty that comes from knowing you. Lord, help us to shine our little light into whatever darkness we may come. For we offer this prayer in the name of the one who came as light into a darkened world and to show us the light and to give us the light. We offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. Lord is good. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in steadfast love. God has blessed us so richly. Let us worship the Lord then as we give him of our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Lord, that's what we would give to you today. Not just of our substance, but of ourselves. Take us, all that we are, all that we have. Use us, O Lord, as you will, to expand your kingdom and to spread your gospel. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Today we continue our study of Joshua, turning to chapter 18. Chapter 18, we'll read the first 10 verses. And this part of the story tells us, Paul Harvey used to talk about the rest of the story. This part of the story tells us about the rest of the tribes that haven't been mentioned up to this point. And we'll find out what their job is. Joshua chapter 18, the verses 1 through 10. This is the word of the Lord. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. That is God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. The land was subdued. Now that was what verse 1 says, and that was not an exaggeration. The land was subdued because of Joshua's campaigns in the south and the north of the promised land, described vividly in chapters 10 and 11. The land was subdued, which means the back of the Canaanites' military power had been broken. The land was subdued. But in order for the God's people to settle down in the land, to settle down in their new homes, each tribe and each clan still needed to root out the remnants of the resistance within their allotted areas. So, why hadn't the tribes of Benjamin, Simeon, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan, why hadn't they done that? Why hadn't these seven tribes taken possession of their inheritance? Well, it's easy to point fingers at others and call them slackers, isn't it? Maybe we ought to take a look in the mirror first. Why haven't we? As individuals, why haven't we taken up our inheritance? After all, Jesus has broken the power of sin and death in our lives, right? Sin and death have been subdued. He has washed us with his blood. He has clothed us with his righteousness, right? So why haven't we, as individuals, why haven't we made more progress in our sanctification, in the process of becoming more like Jesus? Why do we still struggle against the remnants of sin within us? Why don't we more consistently love God and love other people in our daily lives? Why haven't we taken up our inheritance? And why haven't we made more progress as a congregation? Why aren't we more active in evangelism? After all, there are no laws holding us back. Our federal, our state constitutions guarantee us the freedom to believe in Christ and to tell others about Jesus without fear of government reprisal. All Christians don't have that freedom. For example, our brothers and sisters who live in countries dominated by Islam or communism. And we don't have to pay tax money to support a denomination that we don't approve of or that we don't belong to, like many European Christians have to do. No, we can wholeheartedly support our denomination, the EPC. We can take advantage of its resources to help us. We don't have anything holding us back. So, what's the holdup? Well, why weren't these seven tribes more active in taking up their inheritance? Maybe that can help us understand what our problems are. It might be that they didn't think they were big enough. It might be they didn't think they were strong enough. After all, in verse 5, Joshua mentions the tribe of Judah, which had already been allotted a large area in the south. He mentions the house of Joseph, which was so large that it was divided into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, the territory of which sprawled across the northern part of the promised land, even lapping over east of the Jordan River. How could these seven smaller tribes hope to achieve similar success? How can we? It's easy for us, isn't it, to look at the big churches up in Vicksburg or over in Jackson. It's easy to look at them with the same mixture of envy and despair. For let's face it, church growth is a whole lot easier in places where there are lots of people. It's so much easier, isn't it, for these big churches and these big towns to do things like provide children's ministries or organize soup kitchens or organize construction projects or open a clothes closet for the poor or even coordinate flood relief, as many of them are going to have to do next week. There's no way we can do that. There's no way we can staff that. There's no way we can pay for that. How can we, little old First Presbyterian Church of Port Gibson, how can we ever hope to make any real difference for the kingdom of God? How can we as individuals have such hope? Again, when we look in the mirror, it's easy to examine our personal problems and our shortcomings and to fall into despair. How can any of us ever be as bold as Billy Graham? How can any of us ever practice as much self-denial as Mother Teresa? I mean, we're just ordinary, everyday folks doing our best to get through the day and giving in to temptation way more often than we master it. We can't even conquer our own bad habits. How can we possibly display Christ to the world? Well, if we were to examine the rest of this chapter, we would see that God was not expecting these seven tribes to conquer as much area as their more numerous cousins had. I mean, just a glance at the number of column inches in our Bible should prove this. You don't even have to read all those names that nobody can pronounce. It took all of chapter 15, and a long chapter at that, to describe the territory of Judah. It took all of chapter 16 and 17 to describe the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh. In contrast, Benjamin gets only half of chapter 18, and it only takes one chapter to describe the territories of Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. Put together, poor little Issachar gets 2 column inches in my Bible compared to 17 inches for Judah. But that disparity should give us a lot of hope. Because if you think about it, if some tribes were smaller than others, God gave them smaller portions of land to conquer, didn't he? He gave them challenges that fit them. He gave them challenges that were appropriate for their size, for their strength. And the same thing is true for us. No, we're not a megachurch. We don't have a multi-site campus. We don't have multiple pastoral staff. We're not in a big city. But we're plenty big for where we are. We've got enough resources to handle at least some of the problems of where we live, if we'll devote them to the glory of God and the good of others. Think about it. Compare the size of this congregation to the population of this city. If you compare our 70 members to the population of Port Gibson, we make up a little less than 5%. A church of the same proportional size in Jackson, Mississippi, would have to have 8,500 members. That's bigger than First Pres in Jackson. That's bigger than Galloway Methodist. That may even be bigger than First Baptist. So if those congregations can have an impact on their city, can't we do something to advance the cause of Christ here? In the same way, each of us has our own individual challenges to face. Each of us has our own road of sanctification to walk. But in the midst of our problems, whatever they are, all those who love and trust Jesus have access to his power and his authority. For what did he tell us in our responsive reading from John chapter 14? He who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Really? Really? Even as we confront our most serious challenges, even as we face temptation, even as we face grief or disappointment or despair, we are not alone. And we don't have to face even our most overwhelming problems in our own strength. No, Christ has risen from the dead. Christ has ascended to the right hand of the Father. All power is in his hands, and he will give us all the power we need to bring him glory and to bear witness to him. He even promised that we would be able to do the same sorts of things that he did during his earthly ministry. Power belongs to the church because Christ has given it to us. Oh, come on, preacher. I mean, can any of us really do what Jesus did? I mean, he didn't just understand all the scriptures that the Old Testament people had. He was able to speak a new word from God every time he opened his mouth. How can any of us hope to possibly bear witness to God in the same way that he did? How can we really do that? Well, you know, the people of Joshua's time, the seven little tribes, may have thought the same thing. After all, Joshua himself reminded them in verse 7 that the tribe of Levi was given a special task, the task of being the priests of the Lord. Only the Levites were allowed to offer the sacrifices, and only the Levites were able to facilitate the worship in the tabernacle. Only the Levites could perform the rituals that provided the clearest picture of the person and work of Christ that anyone in those days could see. It was for them. It was for the special people. And, you know, sometimes we Presbyterians are hesitant to tell other people about Jesus because we don't think we're special. We have this insistence that our pastors have seminary training. And with the lengthy examinations that we give them to make sure that they know the Bible as well as they love the Lord, it's easy for us to think that we should leave all that evangelism stuff up to the preacher types. And sometimes that leaves everyday Presbyterians thinking that there's really nothing they can do. Just ordinary, everyday Christians. Nothing they can do to expand the kingdom of God, right? You ever thought that way? But remember, just because the Levites were responsible for maintaining and operating the tabernacle, that didn't mean that the rest of the people didn't have to participate, right? The rest of the people had to bring the sacrifices and their offerings. The rest of the people had to show up for the feasts. The rest of the people had to offer their prayers at the time of the morning and evening sacrifices. And as this passage makes clear, the rest of the people had a really important job to do. See, it wasn't the Levites who were responsible for spreading the kingdom of God throughout the promised land. No, that was the responsibility of all the other tribes, even the smallest tribes. In fact, Joshua makes it clear in verse 7 that the conquest of the land was something the Levites were not allowed to do. And you know what? There is a very real sense in which ordinary, everyday church members are actually more effective at evangelism and church growth than we preachers are. Remember, my job is to equip you for ministry. My job is to spend time with you. My job is to teach you. My job is to pray for you when you're sick and visit you in the hospital, right? Preachers naturally spend most of our time with other believers. That's what we do. But y'all have a different focus. Y'all are out in the world. Y'all are coming into regular contact with all kinds of people, many of whom aren't yet following the Lord Jesus. You have a better chance to model the Christian life before folks who have never heard a sermon. You have a chance to speak the truth about Jesus to folks who would frankly be uncomfortable talking to a preacher. Folks who certainly wouldn't want to come to church. And think about this. When y'all invite someone to church, you can say, come with me, come sit with me. I can't do that. I have to sit up here. And remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in our responsive reading. He said he would give the Holy Spirit to all Christians. He said the Holy Spirit would guide all Christians into all the truth. He said the Holy Spirit would teach us all things and bring to our remembrance what he has told us. Yes, we need trained pastors. Yes, There's real value in studying the Bible carefully and in a scholarly way so that we can teach it accurately to others. But it's also true that most of us already know enough about Jesus to tell others the most important things. I mean, if you know the Apostles' Creed, you know the basics, right? And the simple truth of the gospel, related by someone who is living out that truth every day, showing as well as sharing the love and the truth of Christ to people who know you and to people who trust you, y'all, that will have more impact than any sermon I can preach. So yes, in spite of all our weaknesses, we all have access to the power of Christ. And all of us, regardless of our level of formal training, can know and demonstrate the truth of Christ. But we Presbyterians may still be hesitant. Because let's face it, it's hard to start something new, especially for us. Let all things be done decently and in order. That is our favorite part of the Bible. But our second favorite slogan goes this way. We've always done it that way. Right? We're Presbyterians. We naturally find it easier to maintain a program or a practice or a habit than it is to start a new one. And so, it's easy for us to envy those who already look like they have their spiritual lives together than it is to do the hard work of sanctification in our own lives. It's easy for us to envy the big churches that already have their ministries together than it is for us to figure out something new to do. And it would have been easy for these seven small tribes to feel that way too. After all, Judah and Joseph had already begun to take up their inheritance. And in verse 7, Joshua reminds us that Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh had already conquered their allotted territories. But here these seven little tribes were, still at the starting gate, hadn't taken a step, had so far to go. Everybody else is disappearing around the turn. It's really easy to lose heart, easy to lose hope, isn't it? It's easy for us to y'all, it's easy for the big churches to get bigger with all the ministries and the programs they can provide. But it was also easier for previous generations of Christians to do the work of evangelism and sanctification, right? It's easy for us to think that way, right? All after in the good old days, the cultural winds were at our back. Going to church was the socially acceptable thing to do. Biblical morality was supported by the mass media. Families were generally intact, right? It was easy. Then, it's easy for those other folks. So even if we have the power of Christ, even if we have the truth of Christ, how can we few possibly make a difference in our community in this very challenging time? Let's look again at verse 10. For when Joshua cast lots to determine which of the seven small tribes got which piece of land, he was making it clear that God was ultimately in charge of the decision. That God was the one who set each particular challenge before each particular tribe. It wasn't man's choice, it was God's choice. And the rest of chapter 18 and following goes on to explain that every one of those tribes received a different piece of land, a different challenge, a different place they had to conquer. And y'all, the same thing is true for us. God has placed each one of us, God has placed this congregation in this particular place, in this particular time. And the fact is that every place and every time has its own blessings and its own difficulties. It does. Look, it might be easier in some ways to grow a church in a place like Madison County or Rankin County where there are lots of people moving in, but in some ways it's harder in those places. because there aren't any established social connections and no one knows anybody else. It's a lot harder to love your neighbors when you don't know your neighbors. And sure, back when our ancestors built this building, there was a general social consensus about right and wrong, about family structure, about sexual morality. There was a general expectation that church attendance was a good thing. It was easier in some ways to spread the gospel back then. But let's be honest, there was also an equally strong consensus in those good old days that black folk just weren't worth as much as white folk, and that white folk and black folk shouldn't go to the same schools, and that the way that black folk prefer to worship was somehow less worthy or less valid. And y'all, those generally accepted beliefs compromised the message of love that our ancestors were trying to proclaim. They made that message harder to believe. So sure, our generation of Mississippians may struggle more with certain problems than our ancestors did. We may struggle more with cultural sins that are related to sexuality, but at least we don't have to worry about all those things related to race. To put it bluntly, black folk don't have to be afraid of being lynched anymore. And white folk don't have to be afraid of having black friends or going down to Alcorn State to watch a football game or a basketball game. So we can all enjoy watching Gabrielle Samaha, who's from Kinshara, Lebanon, play basketball for the Valley Delta Devils. We can even watch Brian Tyree play for the Ole Miss Rebels, even if the state fans aren't exactly happy about those 40 points he scored against them last week. Y'all, God has given us the blessing and the challenge of living in Southwest Mississippi in 2020. The blessing and the challenge of being part of a small church in a small town in a rural area. The blessing and the challenge of following Jesus in an increasingly diverse but also increasingly secular world. So, as Joshua told those seven small tribes in verse 8, let us walk through the land God has given us. Let us take a good, honest look at the blessings, the gifts God has given us, as well as the needs and the difficulties around us. Let's examine our blessings and our challenges. And then, let's do what he urged those seven small tribes to do in verse 3. Let's take possession of our inheritance. Let's pray for more of the Holy Spirit's power and truth so that we might pursue greater sanctification and so that we might be better equipped for evangelism. And then, however few we are, however ill-equipped we might think we are, let's show and share Christ with all those around us, with our neighbors. Could it be that Jesus would choose to do what he has promised? Could it be that he will accomplish great things through us? Let us pray. Lord, it's so much easier for us to look in the mirror and to see all the problems that we have in our lives. It's so much easier for us to look in the newspaper and see all the problems in the world around us. Help us, Lord, to cling to your promise of power. Help us, Lord, to cling to the truth you have revealed to us. Help us, Lord, to take a good, honest look at both our blessings and our challenges. And help us, Lord, to serve you, to glorify you in this place, in this time, where you have placed us. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Let's continue that prayer as we turn in our hymnals to selection 506, a prayer of taking up the challenge that God has given to each one of us. Oh, Jesus, I have promised. We'll sing all three stanzas, and let us stand to sing. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.